And welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, whether you are here in person or joining us online. We have just a couple of announcements today. Please note in the bulletin that volunteers are changing next Sunday because we are entering September. I am a fall girl through and through, and so the fact that fall is finally coming delights me to no end. But we've got new ushers, new altar guild, Rose Garden sponsors. All of that is listed in the bulletin. Next Sunday marks a new month. I'm really, really excited that three Sundays from today, or two Sundays, maybe two Sundays, Judy's nodding, is Rally Day, and we are making lots and lots of plans for Rally Day. Starting at 9 o'clock that day, we're gonna ask you to join us out in the picnic shelter for donuts and coffee and juice, and I am creating a trivia game, much like Jeopardy, where we're gonna have Bible trivia and Holly Grove trivia. And there might be some prizes, so I think that could be really fun. During worship that day, we are going to be offering to our young folks new age-appropriate Bibles. It's been a little while since we've offered Bibles, and as you all know, children don't keep. And so it's time to change the levels for some of those. And so we're gonna give the kids the next age-appropriate Bibles. And if any of you would like a new Bible, we have Lutheran study Bibles that we would love to give to you. And then following worship that day, we are going to have a meal together because this is what we do. We love to eat together. And so most of the food will be provided, but we do ask that you bring a dessert of your choosing. So Rally Day in 2 weeks, please mark it down and plan to attend. We don't have any anniversaries this week, and we just have one birthday, Gracie Ferguson, who turns 12 this week. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Oh, Neil has an announcement, and I know what it probably is.
September the 18th, we're going to have a joint chicken barbecue with the Lions Club and men's group here. If you would like to sell tickets, I have them back there at the console. Meet with Herbert till I get done undressing later. Come out and be ready to eat chicken September the 18th. All help will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
And we do have a prayer shawl, and I see Kim placed it over here so that I wouldn't forget to pray for it. This is for Debbie Walser, a colleague of Amy Kepley's, who is recovering from COVID, and Amy asks our prayers for Debbie and truly for all who are recovering from COVID. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that we can come before you in prayer, trusting and knowing that you hear us. You hear the cries of our hearts, the laments of our hearts, and our requests. We ask that you would be with Debbie as she is recovering from COVID, that you would bless this prayer shawl and use it as a tangible reminder of the love and prayers here at Holly Grove. As it drapes over Debbie's lap and body, may she feel the weight of this prayer shawl and simultaneously feel the weight of our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God,
let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson today comes from the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, they will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eye have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 15, and it will be read responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle?
Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right.
Who speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord.
They
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. The second reading today comes from the book of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and become the meekness, the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for your orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe: the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Go sit by me. Okay. Oh, I like your cowboy boots.
Thank you.
Those are handsome. Can you remind me of your name?
Owen.
You're Owen, that's right. And you're Miller?
Andrew.
You're Andrew, you're Miller. Miller, you're the oldest. And then we've got Calvin and Isabel. Well, thanks for coming up, everybody. I was going to talk about friendship, but when I see Owen and Andrew here, especially being a little bit younger still, I have a different idea. Do you ever play dress up when you play? Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to dress up as? A cowboy?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I bet you are a great cowboy. Do any of you other play dress up, or did you when you were younger? Oh, so what are some of the things you dressed up as when you were younger? Calvin? Can you say that louder? Probably a superhero? Isabel? Superhero? Firefighter? How about you?
A sheriff.
Oh, those are all really fun things to.
I want to be when I grow up a SWAT.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A SWAT.
A SWAT?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh my goodness, that sounds like so much fun. Why do we dress up when we play sometimes? Calvin? We want to pretend that we're other people? We want to pretend that we're different than what we are?
Yeah.
That when you dress up like a superhero, you want to pretend that you're different than just being regular old you, right? Or you want to pretend that you're a firefighter when you're not a firefighter, or that you're a cowboy when you're not a cowboy, because it's fun to dress up and pretend that we're something else. And you have cowboy boots. I bet that really helps when you dress up like a cowboy. You look like a real cowboy.
But not with a hat
on. Well, there are some things that we do that we pretend to be somebody else that we're not without dressing up. And sometimes we tell other people that we are something that we're not. So I might say to somebody, I believe in Jesus, but maybe the way that I behave doesn't look very much like Jesus. Or maybe I can say that I love my neighbors, which is what Jesus wants us to do, but my actions and my behaviors don't really show that I love my neighbors. And so sometimes there are things that we can pretend to be, and it doesn't show through in our actions. And that's kind of what the gospel today is talking about, that Jesus wants who we say we are to match up with how we live our lives and how we behave. And so when we say that we believe in Jesus, that our life looks like Jesus's life. And when we say we love others, that we actually love others, that we don't just say something, we do it and we live it. But the tricky part is, it's a lot harder to do it than it is to just say it, right? How easy is it to say, I love my neighbors? Say it, I love my neighbors. But it's a lot harder to do it sometimes, isn't it? But even when it gets hard to do those things, Jesus is with us, and God gives us God's Holy Spirit to help us. Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for each other. Help us to make our words and our actions match. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson for this morning is coming from Mark chapter 7. It's right where we left off just a few weeks ago before we ventured into John chapter 6 for 6 weeks. And just in case you are like me, and that's been so long ago that it's hard to recall what happened where we left off in Mark, let me give you a little bit of a refresher. Kind of like they do on TV. Previously in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and the disciples were traveling across the lake when they were caught up in a big storm. While Jesus peacefully rested at the helm of a boat, the disciples were anxious and fearful. Jesus calmed the storm and revealed himself to his disciples with the divine name of God, I am. Revealing that God's name is a verb, that God is always active and present in the world. So here we find ourselves in the very next chapter, and we enter right into an interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees and scribes, who were the religious teachers and leaders of Jesus' day. Now, per usual, the Pharisees and scribes are watching Jesus and his disciples like hawks, trying to find even the teeniest, tiniest of ways that they aren't living up to their standards. At the story for today, at the heart of it, the Pharisees and scribes are trying to undermine Jesus' authority as a teacher of the law. Listen to what they say. Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? What they're saying is, if you were a credible teacher, if you were doing this right, your disciples would follow the tradition of the elders, but they aren't. Now, before anyone stops washing their hands before they eat and stops washing their dishes because Jesus didn't make his disciples do it, let me explain a little bit further what is happening in this passage. A friend of mine has in her kids' bathroom a sign that says, "Wash your hands and say your prayers, because Jesus and germs are everywhere. So keep washing your hands." And just in case you need a hint of how long 20 seconds is, it's the amount of time it takes to say the Lord's Prayer. So say the Lord's Prayer while you wash your hands. But what's happening in the gospel isn't that the disciples didn't wash their hands before eating or didn't wash the utensils that they were using. They did, because that was customary. What they didn't do was additional, more elaborate rituals of washing their hands and the bowls and the pots that the Pharisees were doing. These more elaborate rituals were expected to be done on top of the regular hand washing, and these elaborate rituals had become tradition, and it was what the Pharisees expected. So Jesus firmly and clearly clarifies for the religious leaders and for us what is important to God. And it's not how well we adhere to or follow traditions that other humans have established. What's important to God is the devotion that we have for God in our hearts. Because the truth is, we can easily follow traditions, human traditions, and have a heart that is far from God. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were so often focused on the externals of faithfulness, of what their faith looked like to others, that they neglected over and over again to examine their own hearts. So Jesus makes a very clear distinction for them and for us between outward piety, what we project for others, and the devotion that we have for God in our own hearts. And lest we think that we are Jesus in this story or the disciples in this story, we are the Pharisees, and we need to pause and examine our own hearts. 1 John says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So Jesus calls these religious leaders, the ones who are focused solely on the externals of faithfulness and not the devotion to God in one's heart, Jesus calls these religious leaders hypocrites. Hypocrite is a very loaded word, particularly in the church. And what it boils down to is that hypocrisy is the disconnect between our moral values and standards and how those are lived out or how they're not lived out in our behaviors. The Greek word hypocrite comes from hypokrosis, and it means acting out like in a theatrical play, or pretending to be something you're not, or a life acted out to fool others. It's a role that we take on. So when we say we believe in Jesus, but then our life looks nothing like his, we are pretending we've taken on a role. When we say we are Christians, but there is no evidence of following Jesus in our lives, we have taken on a theatrical role. We are projecting something of who we are out into the world, a persona that we act out to fool others. But there's no fooling God. John 15, Jesus says this in John 15, "I am the vine, and you are the branch. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you will bear nothing." If we say we believe in God, and our belief and devotion to God matches what we say, then there will be evidence of that fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But if we say we are a Christian and we do not have a relationship with God, there is no fruit in us, and we are hypocrites, because what we say or pretend to be outwardly does not match up with our inward devotion to God. We become so much like the Pharisees that we're so focused on what we externally project about our faithfulness that the life of faith we present to others does not match what is actually happening in our own hearts and in our relationship with God. And we deceive ourselves. And so often we get so good at deceiving ourselves that we don't even know we are deceiving ourselves. Listen to this quote. "The hypocrisy of religious people not only damages the credibility of the message, but it creates idolaters who are convinced that their pretend piety is not idolatry at all." We convince ourselves sometimes that our pretend piety is not a form of idolatry itself. Do you know the number one reason why people are turned away from the church? It's because of Christians. People who claim to be Christians, but their lives do not look anything like the life of Jesus. People outside of the church, they know that Jesus calls us to love our neighbor. And they know that that means that we are to love the poor and the orphans and the widows and those who are on the margins and those who are the most vulnerable among us. They know that. But they see us coming to church on Sunday and then living the rest of the week like that 1 hour at church didn't affect us at all. They don't want to be a part of a faith where people act out a theatrical role where they pretend to be Christians. They want to be a part of a faith that is authentic, where people walk the talk and practice what they preach. So I invite you, I encourage you to spend some time today, every day actually, examining your heart. And I mean your heart, and I mean my own heart. Not the hearts of somebody else, because when we hear the word hypocrite, we don't want that to be us. We want that to be somebody else. And so we instantly think of other people and the ways that they are hypocrites, and we don't want to acknowledge the own hypocrisy within us. And we continue to deceive ourselves. So examine your own heart. Sit with the discomfort. ask God to search your heart and show you the ways where what you say and what you do not match. Ask God to show you the ways where you pretend to be somebody that you're not. Ask God to show you where your relationship with God is disconnected and where you are not bearing fruit. And let God prune that out of you. At the end of the day, this isn't about checking a list of boxes. Did I do all these things just right? It's about our relationship with God. Truly, it's only ourselves that we are deceiving. Jesus clearly sees through the deception in our own hearts. Jesus sees the edited versions of ourselves that we present to others and the world. He knows the deception and the sin in our hearts. He knows what our relationship with him is really like. And he doesn't turn away. And he still loves us. He loves us so much that he continues to show us what true faithfulness is. He shows us how to live without a distinction between our outward piety and our inward devotion to God. He shows us how to live without hypocrisy and how to live with a deeply authentic faith and a deeply authentic relationship with God. Jesus calls us to a life of authentic faith that isn't about clean hands, and it's not about following human traditions, and it's not about projecting a persona out into the world. Jesus calls us to an authentic faith where our hearts are cleansed and shaped by the radical, self-giving love of God. When you come up for to communion today, dip your hands in the baptismal waters. Remember that God forgives you all your sins when you confess and then repent. That in these waters, God names and claims you as God's own. And God created you to be in relationship with God. God doesn't want you to pretend to have a relationship with God. God wants to be deeply intimate with you. Beloved, let us draw near to God because God has already drawn near to us. Let us allow God to examine our hearts, and let us allow God to transform our hearts so that we can live with a deeply authentic faith and relationship with God. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
living in trust, living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for the church. That it is a safe haven for all who seek your presence. Fill it with pastors, deacons, and leaders who echo your expansive and generous welcome. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the whole of creation, that plants and animals have the habitat and resources to thrive and flourish. Inspire us to protect threatened habitats and ensure a sustainable future for generations to come. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our leaders. Increase their desire for justice, peace, and equality. Raise up wise and discerning leaders in federal, state, and local governments, and guide them to seek the benefit of every person. We pray for our enemies. Bridge the chasms that divide us, and guide authorities to keep a deep and lasting peace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are in need. Support and encourage those who are unemployed, underemployed, or experiencing poverty. Bring food, shelter, clothes, and stability for daily life. We pray for all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Gary and Judy, Bill, Jimmy, Sherry, and all of our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation, especially for students, teachers, and staff at the beginning of the school year. Strengthen and empower teachers and school administrators. Guide students in their learning and development. Accompany parents, foster parents, and caregivers who provide encouragement and love. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, be with the residents of the Gulf Coast as another hurricane enters. Keep them safe. Be with them at all times. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, also be with our service members over in Afghanistan as we get everyone out that we can and bring peace and hope and mercy to everyone there. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the faithful departed who showed us how to honor God with our heart. Inspire us by their example and renew our faith, trusting that we will be united in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us to this meal. Make us be what we received here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms for all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let us say the mission statement of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. As united people of God, peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.